This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
It was a battle of the MVPs last night. Mostly negative, but I have reasons to be optimistic. The border war was borderline boring. Michael, like, see what I did there? See
boring
what I did?
War.
Yeah, boring war. It was not for Cowboys fans, but the Rams could not hit a shot. Could not hit a shot. The Bears are fighting back. How much fight do they have in them as we turn the calendar to the month of February? And it's Super Bowl week, Michael. Depressing week, maybe. The whole show starts now. Was pretty giddy on Nikola Jokic coming back, and they had a tough out, you know, or a tough game, I should say, coming up in that game Friday night against the Los Angeles Clippers, because the Clippers, you know, their record would tell you that, ooh, man, are they going to be in the playoffs? But what they had done before facing the Nuggets, they were pretty red hot in the month of January. So the Nuggets catch them at a bad time, or did the Clippers catch the Nuggets at a bad time? The Nuggets win 122-109. Joker didn't look like he missed any time. He had 31 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, only one turnover for him, 3 steals as well. Played 25 minutes. So that was great. Looked like he didn't skip a beat. Last night, you go up against the Thunder. This was the game that I had circled, and I thought Joker was going to be back for that game. But they wanted a tune-up game, apparently. And Joker took a while to get going. Oklahoma City is and this should be your favorite team, Michael. If you weren't a market guy, this should be your favorite team, because
they are my least favorite team.
They play such an aggressive style of defense that it drives everybody they play against crazy. It's borderline illegal because most of the time they are fouling. They just don't call it, because I've said this before and I sound like a broken record. The Thunder are going to be so aggressive and so handsy all game that when they do actually commit an obvious foul, it's not as obvious as it might look when you're watching a regular team. And when I say regular, again, not a lot of teams play this style. I mean, they were all over Joker. Hands all over him, pumping up, thumping his chest, thumping his jaw, locking arms as much as they possibly can, constantly doing a little extra shove there, just so they can feel you a little bit. There's part of my brain that actually really admires it. Except for when Denver's playing them. The part that really annoys people, though, is they get away with that, yet Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and this was a slow night for him. He made it to the free throw line 13 times. 13. Nobody else is making it to the line that many times. Denver, the most their guys had, I think Jamal and Joker made it 4 times. Tim Hardaway Jr. and Bruce Brown made it 4 times. It's just the optics of it don't look good. Now, does that mean he's not getting fouled? He's not getting fouled all of these times? No. He plays with such a style where he's going to force you to play up on him, because he is going to drive to the basket, and he looks for that contact, and sometimes he gets it. He's an amazing player. But there are other times, like, if you throw a double team on him inside the paint, they're calling a foul every time. If you jump near him and your jersey thinks about touching him, they're going to call a foul. So they are frustrating to watch, but I do like their style of defense. I actually really do. Denver loses 121-111. Joker is still kind of on a minute restriction. He did play 29 minutes last night. He played 25 against the Clippers. So am I extremely concerned on this Monday morning about what a potential playoff series looks like? Yes and no. I mean, Kayson Wallace couldn't miss. He was 7 of 11 from the three-point line. Lou Dort was 2 of 6. Jalen Williams was 2 of 3. Isaiah Joe, 3 of 9. Aaron Wiggins, 3 of 6. They're going to shoot the 3. And the percentage isn't always going to look sexy, but when you throw that amount of shots up, you're going to make them in the NBA. You're going to make them. And it just so happened it was Wallace's night. He was unconscious for a moment. Every time Denver made a little run, I think it was like 70. They'd cut it from down 12 to, it was 70 to 74. And then I think Wallace hit like 2 in a row. Jalen Williams came down and hit one, and then suddenly the lead for OKC ballooned back up to like 19 or 18. You can't keep up with it. You have to play almost perfect basketball. And that's what, you know, the Nuggets kind of did that against the Thunder in their final series last year. The games that they won, you weren't seeing unconscious three-point shooters. They were maintaining Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They weren't getting overly frustrated with the handsiness of the Thunder's approach. And that's why they were able to go 7. I could see that happening again. Now, the Thunder had some guys out, too. The Nuggets, obviously, still without 3 of their starters and Christian Brown, Cam Johnson, and now Aaron Gordon, who's going to be out for several weeks. So I'm not looking at that saying, wow, with their guys. But I'll tell you what I learned from this series game. It felt like, it kind of had moments, it felt like a playoff game. Peyton Watson is a must-have. I don't know what they are going to do to make room. I don't know if you can just say, screw it, we're going into the apron and be penalized. The apron, I've tried, Michael. I've tried to understand it. I just don't. I just know you don't want to be in it. It's really bad. The first apron's pretty bad. But you don't want to be in it. But if you can run almost this entire roster back for the next few years, Peyton Watson is becoming a player, a household Denver Nuggets name. He had 29 points last night. And you know what I love most? He went up for a dunk, got it, for a great pass from Joker, and he's getting up in Chet Holmgren's face, and he's talking smack. And I love that. There was a play, Michael, that I would have felt like a genius on, but I love the connection between Peyton Watson and Joker. So Joker's setting these little screens on the elbow, kind of in between the free throw line, corner, and the three-point line. He's setting a screen so he can free up Peyton Watson to cut to the basket. Then Joker pops out wide open. They start that play. I think Murray finds Watson cutting to the basket. He's not sure where to go with it. If he turns around, he's got a wide-open Joker. Anyway, Watson goes up, gets fouled. Shoots free throw, misses the first one. Joker stands next to him, says something. Watson says, I got you. And I said it out loud, Michael. I said it. Joker's going to come down next. They're going to run the exact same play. Joker's going to take a wide-open 3. He's probably going to make it. That's exactly what happened. Should have ran that 14 more times, and maybe they win. Joker, they're gonna body him up. They're gonna play so aggressive on him, and they were. They're gonna knock him around. And the only way you can solve that is try to solve that against the Thunder, is to hit your outside shots. And Denver was, hey, not, I mean, it's not bad. 16 of 35, 46%. The Thunder were 40%. But they shot 48 times as opposed to Denver's 35. Even David Adelman said, man, I think we probably in that game probably should have shot 50. And they probably would have been, you know, most of them would have been good looks because of the way they were defending Joker. This is just kind of a sloppy game. I'm not pressing any kind of panic button here. It's Joker's second game back. It was awesome what he did Friday. Did not expect that. The Thunder are the favorite, though. Make no mistake about it. The Oklahoma City Thunder are the favorite to win the championship and repeat this year. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Also, Michael, for the first time in his career, Jamal Murray is an all-star. He's a reserve in the all-star game. Yes, it counts, of course. What do you... Yes, it counts. There's way less players in the NBA. You think they're just going to go 5-on-5 in the All-Star game, Mike? You think you want them to just go 5-on-5? Is that what you want? You're poo-pooing the idea of a reserve.
A reserve's not a real All-Star.
Why do they have a Sixth Man of the Year award? Your bench is... Why did the Nuggets lose last year and the year before that? Why didn't they go on to win championships? Because their bench wasn't good. You are what I like to call tabloid guy. I only care about the top three people on the team. Nobody else matters. You do not win championships if you are not deep. And that's what the reserves are all about. We are acknowledging how important the bench is.
Let's acknowledge Shedeur Sanders while we're at it.
Don't you think the backup quarterback turned out to be a pretty important position for the Broncos, Mike? Or does that position not matter either?
I'm just saying he's an all-star. Yay, he's number six.
Well, he could be number. No, that absolutely.
Is he actually going to play?
Yes.
Okay, never mind. I take that back.
If you're in the All-Star game, because I don't know if you watch basketball, they don't just go 5-on-5. They have other guys that substitute in.
Yeah, I understand that. If you're going to play,
no,
then
everybody
that's
on an All-Star roster is playing about. They're all kind of playing the similar minutes, depending on how they do it. But although this year's weird because you have the West All-Stars, you have the East All-Stars, and that's how they're named, but we are mixing and matching those. So it's not really an East versus West. It's World versus the USA. And actually, I like the concept of this if they actually give a damn.
Are you going to root for the World again?
I don't know. You going to root for LeBron James?
I'm going to root for America.
You're going to root for LeBron James?
Rooting for
two
America.
Lakers,
not
are
necessarily
on, oh, no, wait,
LeBron James. I'm rooting for the red, white, and blue.
He's going to be the leader
for
of that
the
team.
Representatives of America.
Well, he's going to be the leader of that team. I'm just telling you, as a fan of the NBA, I like Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray. Probably, I am actually a fan of Luka. I don't like the uniform he wears now, but I am a fan. I like those guys more than I like Giannis. I like Steph Curry a lot. Giannis will be on the world team. They're going to be stacked. The world team's going to be stacked. Kind of changed my opinion on Kevin Durant. I root for him, although he'll be pissy when Joker fans, Luka fans, Giannis fans are rooting for World. Jamal Murray had something interesting to say about his approach to the All-Star game, and you've heard this from a couple of players now. If this actually is the approach, then this could be fun. This could be really fun. Here's Jamal Murray talking about what his effort would potentially look like in the All-Star game.
2023, you told us that you play hard, and if you were to make an All-Star team, you'd go out there and play hard and have fun.
Absolutely.
Still the plan.
Yeah, I really kind of like lost interest in All-Star just watching whatever they're doing out there. It's just like I'd rather go vacation if that's the basketball we're going to be playing, you know what I'm saying? I'm down to play one-on-one. I don't care. I'm just a competitor, right? So I would like to play. I know Wembanyama will play. I know Giannis will play if he were to. So I just I want to be one of those guys that's known as somebody who's going to play hard every time he steps on the court. And not just half-ass it.
We're going to see the two-man game at the All-Star game?
Hey now. That'll be interesting. That'll be fun.
You're going to see the two-man game? You're going to see Coach Smiley and I do a podcast during the All-Star game? Was that what the question was? Sorry, podcast called The Two-Man Game with yours truly and Coach Steve Smiley. He didn't mention Joker's going to play hard. He said, I know Wimby's going to go hard. I know Antetokounmpo is going to go hard. And Joker's going to play Joker's game. He's going to play his style of game no matter what type of environment it is. It's not sexy, though. That's why it's not a fan favorite watching Joker play basketball, which is silly to me. It's not an obvious fan favorite, I should say. If you actually are a deep fan of basketball, then Joker is the best player you've ever seen in your life. Just saying. I'm just throwing it out there. He's sound. He's fundamental. But good for Jamal. I mean, this guy is one of the major reasons. Now, Peyton Watson, a deeper bench, David Adelman being an excellent coach in his first real year, all of those things combined have been the reason the Nuggets have sustained success without Joker, without Aaron Gordon, without Christian Brown, without Cam Johnson, and somewhat without Jonas Valanciunas. Jamal's been a major leader in that. His average is up all the way down the board. He's, again, we still have a second half of the season to go, but he's averaging four more points a game than he ever has. He's averaging, maybe 1.5 to 2 more assists per game than he ever has. And his rebound totals, he's averaging more, maybe not by much, but he's averaging more rebounds per game than he has in his career at 4.4. Everything has been better for him. His three-point percentage, this is the best three-point percentage he's ever had. It's almost at 44. His free throw percentage, not as good as it was his second year and last year, but right there amongst some of his better years. His overall field goal percentage is the highest it's ever been, 48.7. He finally gets his All-Star. This is the player that I believed he could be when the Nuggets drafted him. This is why I had ridiculous expectations and high praise for him when he was drafted. This is why I was probably more, I was harder on him when I would assess his game compared to Michael Porter Jr., compared to Nikola Jokic, anybody. Jamal's was the one because I'm the guy who said when he got drafted that this dude was going to be better than Steph Curry. Now that's, unless Jamal just has a night and day change from being an average to good player to being a good to amazing player in the back half of his career, he's still, back half, I'm acting like he's 97 years old. He's still got a long ways to go. He's not going to surpass that. He won't be Steph Curry, but he has a chance to, okay, now he's an all-star. He could add another title to his resume. At least it wouldn't make me look completely out of my mind. Close, because Steph Curry's going to go down as one of the greatest of all time, top 10. Jamal's not going to be anywhere necessarily close to that. Nikola Jokic was asked about Jamal Murray making the All-Star game, and here's Joker's thoughts on, hey, this is the first active All-Star Joker's ever had. He's had, like, Russell Westbrook was an All-Star, but not while he was a Nugget. He's not had an active Nuggets All-Star. This is the first All-Star, dual All-Star cast the Nuggets have had since 2010 when it was Chauncey Billups and Carmelo Anthony. It's the first time we've had two. Here's Joker talking about the second.
Similar but different paths, of course. And then we start playing together and we both make each other's game better and easier. So I wouldn't change him. I wouldn't change him for anybody. So he's whenever I say who is my top five of my career, he's definitely number one. So it's we have a great, great relationship on the court. It's so many good moments, bad moments too. But that's what creates good moments. So it's a pleasure to have him over there.
He said that you guys never fight.
No. No, because one guy is always mad and one guy is not, and so we balance each other.
Who's mad more?
Depends, depends.
Yeah, it does make me curious. I would like to see his top five of the players. Gordon's got to be number two. Jamal makes sense. It's always been about those guys. Gary Harris, I wonder where he falls into that, because there was a while there before Jamal started to get better. It was like, oh, they're going to run this two-man game with a two-guard, Gary Harris and Joker. And then Jamal kind of took over in that light, in that world. I would be really curious to see Joker's top five that he played with. Or maybe he's said it before, but he's saying Jamal Murray is number one. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. We'll get to more on the Denver Nuggets. Update on the Denver Broncos, where they sit, where we sit with Davis Webb, what that looks like. Is that going to change? Because it sounds like the Raiders have their guy. We'll get into that with Top Story. I believe Brock Wisney's going to be in studio today, the Brock Wisney Show. And the Bears just won two in a row. Watch out for this Bears team. Well, I'm high on this team. And you look at the record, and you look at the conference record, and you think I'm crazy. Those last two games, even one with a rough shooting night, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Those were two monster wins for the University of Northern Colorado. So we'll have Brock on, I believe, here in just a moment. And a ton to talk about the border war over the weekend. Wyoming won, and it didn't look like they were really ever in jeopardy of losing. And Wyoming is not a good basketball team right now. So what does that make Colorado State at this stage? 26 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Games and talk. Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Interior Sprinkler Systems presents the Brock Wisney Show on KFKA.
Two big wins over the extended weekend, if you want to count like a Thursday night against Idaho, 91-83, and then rough shooting night for the Bears, Brock. Yeah. But you guys found a way to get it done, 74-71 over Eastern Washington. And I've said it a million times on this show, and I've tweeted about it. I've told you, I said, this Bears team, just go with me here. This Bears team is too good to have that record.
Yeah.
And I was really needing you guys to do this over the weekend, because sooner or later I can't say that all the time.
Yeah.
When the record is what it is, but you guys made me look good at least for a weekend. That's what it was all about.
I think finally clicked. It was all for
me.
Show.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Yeah, but it was nice to, you know, Idaho was a good game, and it was really nice to go against Ewash and get that win in a dirty and gross game, and we missed so many shots. But you know, you're gonna have one of those in March. So it was nice to see one of those come together, and one where, you know, it's more reliant on our defense than, you know, shooting threes or so on and so forth.
Those were big wins, too, because Eastern, I mean, a lot of teams at this stage are ahead of you guys, but, you know, beating Eastern Washington, you got a little bit closer there.
Yeah.
Idaho, you're not that far away from them, so that was a big one for you. Coming up, again, Weber State and Idaho State, those are two teams that are pretty close, too. So if you can get a couple more wins this week, suddenly we start having a different conversation. But talking about these two, obviously this whole thing started Monday. You came in here and we were talking about it. You guys had a players only meeting.
We did.
Quinn Danker had sent you guys a text and said, hey, let's meet up at my place and talk. And it's not a negative thing. It's not a backstabbing thing about the coaching staff or anything like that. Can you talk to us a little bit about how that meeting went?
You know, I think that when we came together, it was nice to see that, first of all, we were all on the same page. Like, everybody wants this thing to do well. And it was talking about, first of all, how can we stay present, and no matter what your role is, how can you help the team?
Yeah.
That was one of the main things. And also another thing that we could get into is we talked about, we need like some glue guys. Like guys that are just winners, and you know they don't got to come in and be super shiny, but they do some dirty work. They get rebounds. They guard, and I think guys did that. Like the person I want to shout out is like Arik. You know, Arik is younger, and at first he talked in the players' meeting. He's like, "Man, I thought that at the beginning of the season I had to come in and score a bunch of points to help this team." But he's like, "Now I realize I just want to get on the floor and play defense or lock a guy up." And I thought in those two games he did great. You know, whether it's rebounding or just making simple plays. And so I think, like for example, like that's someone that took that meeting or took, you know, what was said, like, we need a glue guy. And he's like, okay, like, I can do this. And I think that's awesome.
Wow. Listen to this. This is great stuff, man, for giving us this insight. You get a guy like that who's thinking, I'm going to come here and be that finesse player. I'm going to fill up the scoreboard. Oh, maybe that's not my role for this team. I look at a guy like Quinn Danker. That wasn't always his role when he was with Idaho.
Yeah. He was the glue guy last year, right?
Yeah, he was the glue guy last year. He wasn't lighting up the scoreboard every single night when he was with Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's like a 30-point dude almost every night. So things change. But how about the self-awareness for a guy like Arik that says, hey, that's not who I need to be for this team. I need to be somebody else. And we saw that in the last two games.
Yeah, it's all about maturing and kind of realizing like what's going to help my team and what's going to help me, right? And Arik, he's a great player, and he could be a guy that's like Quinn Danker in the coming years that can do that stuff. But, you know, I think he realized it's important for me to be on the floor, and it's more so important for me to help this team. And that's someone that applied it. And I think like guys like Ring, you know, they take that meeting too, and they play hard and they're focused, and we're hyping the guys on the bench, you know, bringing more energy. So there's a lot that goes into it, but I think that we responded well.
Well, Ring in that Eastern Washington game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Bears were struggling making shots. He was kind of having one of those nights, man. I mean, his offensive production was something that really kind of kept you guys rolling with that lead.
Yeah, he's super talented, and we've been telling him, and I've been in his ear. I'm his roommate, and I'm like, just keep going, man. Like, your time's coming, and like he's a guy that can have those nights, and it was really good to see stuff click for him. And I realized that game, I'm like, man, I just need to throw Ring lobs. You know, if no one's near him, just throw it up there, and he's going to go get it. So I think that we're kind of, you know, finally figuring out how each other play and, you know, getting more connected on the floor and just, you know, having fun out there.
And it seemed like it. And it was a big one. Idaho seems like a really good team.
Yeah, like,
they seem like they could be a team to watch out for. So for you guys to get that win, you know, mentally, just seeing that final score and seeing the Bears in the win column, how much of a relief was that in the Idaho game specifically?
We've been saying it a little. We're like, we just need one. You know, we just need to see one game go right, and then we kind of get our confidence and our juice back. And I think that was a huge one for us. Obviously, we went into it, and we're like, man, we're going to win this game. And I think that it really took off in the second half. You know, we were down by one at halftime, and we get out there, though, and we start having some real plays, you know, getting out in transition, running, and getting stops on defense. And it was finally, you know, fun to play again, and we're like, man, we're just out here hooping.
Yeah, well, it was, you know, guy that doesn't get involved a lot, but I knew things were going right when Hunter Caldwell hits that. It comes in, instantly hits a wide-open three. Yeah. I'm like, all right, this is the Bears' night, man.
Yeah,
this is the Bears'
night. His job, man. Hunter's a pick-and-pop sniper three, and everybody knows that. Even the teams were playing. Like, he popped, and the guy still got out and contested, but there was no doubt in anybody's minds, if Hunter touches that, he's shooting.
So I loved it. 91-83 over Idaho, and again, 74-71 over Eastern Washington. We'll take a short break here. We'll throw out some game balls and all that. Look at what's next for this Bears team. Eight games left. We are rounding out the season. We're now into February, so it does feel like every game maybe means just a little bit more.
It does.
As we get closer to the Big Sky Conference tournament. All right, it's the Brock Wisney Show presented by Interior Sprinkler Systems. We'll take a short break. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Brock, I know I've asked you about a lot, but it's juicy, man. I mean, you tell us on Monday that, you know, things are rough. We're getting together. We're having a players-only meeting. How did the coaching, because at the time, I think maybe one or two, obviously the coaches knew you were doing this. It's not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things because this is a positive group.
Yeah.
But what was the coaching staff? What was Coach Smiley's response to that?
We didn't hear anything from Smiley, which I think is a good thing. He kind of just wanted to, you know, let us take care of it and just be player-led in that moment. And even afterwards, I didn't hear him ask, like, how did it go? Or, you know, I think that he just wanted to leave that up to us and trust us. I know Reed asked me, how did it go? And I was like, yeah, it was good. Just whatever, just basic stuff. stuff. But I think for the most part, they trust us. And because of that, they kind of understand, you know, let that be part of like the player, the player led piece. And then the coach led piece is also part of it. Just two separate things.
I'm curious how these meetings start.
Yeah.
Because you guys all get together, yeah. You know, shake hands, you know, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? Yeah. And then you just sit down and. How does it go? Like, take me through that, because it could be awkward, maybe.
Yeah, someone was 10 minutes late. I won't air him out. So we were just sitting there for a second just talking. I'm like, okay, are we going to do this thing or not? But then Quinn started. He's like, okay, like, let's just talk about, like, how I feel is so-and-so. Like, this is how I feel at this moment. He airs out for about 10, 15 minutes. And then, you know, other guys start speaking up and – I think from then on, it's just a conversation. It's super easy to talk about because, you know, there's so many different people that you like to hear from perspective-wise.
Yeah.
Like, how do the guys on the end of the bench feel? How does the energy feel there? And then how does a guy feel that, you know, maybe a sixth or seventh man in the rotation, like the glue guy piece? How does a guy that, you know, is getting large minutes feel? Just kind of wanting to hear voices from each perspective and just it connects us past, you know, just the specific words that are said.
Did it ever get not contentious, but did it ever get like, oh, somebody's saying something that's kind of like, hey, this is how I feel. And it's not necessarily all rainbows and kittens over here.
Absolutely. And I think that's the beauty of it is being, you know, transparent. And vulnerable, because if you want to trust each other, you got to be honest, right? You can't just go in there and say, oh, like, you're going to do great, we're going to do this, and you got to be honest. So, I mean, there was a few moments where, like, Quinn's like, okay, this specific guy, we need more from you. We need more energy. Or this specific guy, maybe you're trying to do too much. Like, stay, like, settle back down, you know, get reset back to zero. And I think that our team is somebody that doesn't, you know, get in their own feelings, not very selfish. So I think that it was great to, you know, hear perspectives of the team and then also – just be honest with each other. Like, I see this is where you're at, or I see this is where I'm at. And I think that's how you get stuff out of it, not just going in and being scared to, you know, say stuff to each other.
I think it's powerful. If you have the right group that can do it, it can be powerful. It could also be dangerous if you don't have the right group. Because then it could just turn into, you know, yelling at each other, you know, throwing somebody under the bus. The reason I'm not succeeding is because this guy. Yeah. But it sounds like with the leadership on this team, you just don't have that. You could see it. I don't know if you could. I wasn't at the game, but I'm watching on ESPN Plus. You could see just a little pep in your step.
Yeah.
But I thought of you, Brock. I was going to tweet it out, man. That players only meeting must have really worked. I'm like, no, because then people go into that, like we said.
Yeah.
They go into this, wait, they had a players only meeting? What's going on with the coaching staff? So I wanted to make sure we always gave that proper context.
Yeah.
We can do that better on a radio show than a 4-second tweet.
Yeah.
So wanted to make sure of that. But it did seem like there was just a little something.
Yeah. It wasn't the walls were caving in. You know,
it was
more so of like, how do we give ourselves that extra? I think the saying that we've been saying a ton is like, we need more. That's what we're saying in the huddle. That's what we're saying to each other. And that comes on whether it's a 50-50 ball. We need you to want that more than the other team. Or whether you're on defense, like, we need more from you. Whether it's sitting down and having pride and getting a stop. Or we need more energy from the bench. Just that's kind of what the basis and the tagline of what I would say was the message from the guys.
You guys got more. You got two more dubs to add to your conference record, if I can spit that word out. Wow, that was a tough one. And I want to get into this coming up next, Brock, but we'll look at the schedule ahead from you. Also, we got to do game balls. We're throwing that out there. I already met with the people at Big City Roadhouse today.
Yeah.
So whoever gets the most of these, they're going to be prepared for us to come in and we'll sample or we'll try something with whoever wins this.
We'll see who it is. We'll see.
Well, I mean, right now, it's got to be Quinn. Quinn's got like 577.
You got to keep it a little mysterious. It can't.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's definitely changed in the conference schedule.
Yeah.
Plus, Quinn was out for a couple of games, which I thought was going to be a couple of months, but didn't turn out to be that long. So we'll look at the schedule ahead, game balls. Also, we watched a similar movie.
We did.
The same, not a similar movie.
The same movie.
The actual movie. Anaconda.
Yeah, interesting.
Interesting, yeah.
Stupid funny. It was good.
Paul Rudd and Jack Black and, I can't think of the other dude's name.
There's Ice Cube in there, too.
Ice Cube, yeah.
Oh, Cube came back?
Yeah, spoiler alert for you, by the way. But it's been out a long enough time now. If you don't know, then you just don't know. The other guy who was in... Oh,
the first one?
Saving Sarah Silverman. Or whatever. Not Sarah Silverman. I can't think of the movie. It was Jack Black.
Oh, Zach Galifianakis. No, is he in there?
No, but he does look. Yeah, I could see where you're getting that.
No.
Saving Silverman. Have you seen that movie? Jack Black and something else. Can't think of it. No? You got nothing for me back there?
I've got nothing. I've never heard of that movie.
Well, no. It's an older one, so I don't think you have.
I haven't.
We'll talk about it. Coming up next, it's the Brock Wisney Show, presented by the one and only Interior Sprinkler Systems. I know Shane was probably pumped.
Oh, he was. I saw him. He was pumped.
Yeah, big old bear hug, probably. Get, you know,
a real hard high five. Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of more of that guy. Yeah. Yeah. 48 after the hour. We'll be right back.
There's a chance.
Hear Nuggets and Avalanche games on Northern Colorado's voice.
Yeah!
103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the Brock Wisney Show, presented by Interior Sprinkler Systems. The Bears coming off of two wins in a row, one on Thursday, and then one on Saturday over Eastern Washington. It's hard to say must win. I only like to say must win as if it means if you lose,
season's
you're
over.
Done yeah. or something bad happens. But it as close as you can get to that. It's starting to feel like you guys really needed to get one.
We really needed one. It's funny because we've been saying must win since we were 1-2. But at the same time, I think it was great to see one happen. And it felt like a must win. But the thing is, we weren't even thinking about that. We were just trying to go out there and play hard and just play with each other.
Yeah, you got it done. We got to throw out some
game ball
time. So let's go with Idaho first.
Oh, this is a questionable one, huh?
This is a tough one.
Who had a good game All here?
Right. I mean, Mr. 30-plus does it again.
35, it's Quinn Danker. There's no way you can go anywhere else.
He's running away with this, I think. Man, he really is.
But we do have a different one for Ewash.
I had a feeling you were going to go. Well, I knew you were going to have a different one.
Yeah.
I think I know where you're going.
It's Ring.
Okay, yeah.
23, career high, 3-for-4 from three-pointers. Dunking the ball everywhere, hitting all of his shots, and he does a lot that's not even on the stat sheet, too. So he had a great game.
That dunk he had, I think it was like an and-one opportunity.
Yeah.
Trying to throw out the ring-a-ding. Can we do that? No,
there was a funny one. I threw it up to him. It was the last lob I threw to him. It bounced off the backboard into his hands, and then he finished it. It was a funny one.
Sometimes you need those kind of games.
Yeah.
Those things where just everything kind of goes right for a moment. Yeah. And then we'll see kind of how that works. So Quinn Danker, Ring Neary getting game balls. Ring's had a couple.
Yeah.
I think Quinn's running away, but we'll see what happens.
He is.
The next few games. So coming up next, you have Weber State and Idaho State. You guys beat Idaho State 85-72 last time out.
Yeah.
Lost a close one to Weber State 76-71. So how does that, and I only got about a minute here, but... Mm-hmm. Do you go back and just really primarily study the film from those last two games, or do you study their film from their last two games?
There'll be a ton of film based on that game, but we also look into their past two games. So we'll watch live film based on their last game, and then we'll watch a lot of clips from us playing them, whether it's how to attack them or how to defend them. So whatever you think there is, we probably watch it. We watch a lot of film, and we'll be well prepared for those.
What was it? Was there something glaring in that Weber State game that caught your eye that you know is going to be part of the kind of the focus this week?
I don't think there was a ton. I think we played pretty decent defense. We just weren't rolling offensively. If I remember that correctly, it was like 75-71.
That was the game where you guys only hit like 1-3.
I think 1-for-14 that game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, hey, we're going to bounce back. And Weber's a hard place to play, so it's not going to be easy. And then Idaho State will be fun also.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. No question about it. And that game, like, you just hit one or two more of those threes, and that game, that one's over. So.
Hey, you can always say that retrospectively.
I always say the opposite. I'm like, but you don't know. If they do hit one of those threes, Weber State plays a different style, then they suddenly are pressing more. So who knows what could have happened.
But, no idea.
Brock, congrats, man. Two nice dubs for you guys. You're making me look smart on this show, so I appreciate that. And I know that was probably...
That was their only goal. Yeah, we wrote it on the whiteboard. We say, prove Brady Hole right.
We got to prove him right, man. He's got our back. Let's do this. And I know that was a big talking point.
Yeah.
Brock, congrats, man. Good luck this weekend, Thursday and this weekend.
Yeah.
And we'll catch up with you
next
Monday.
Thanks for having me. It's been awesome.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. The Brock Wisney Show, presented by Interior Sprinkler Systems. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.